A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Tainus Daf Zayin, Tainus 7a, pagination, page 13, about 20 lines down in the middle of a line. Rava Rami, Rava contrasted two parts of a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Ha'azinu. Both parts of the pasuk are describing Torah, but they do so in contrasting ways. One comparing Torah to rain, and one part of the pasuk comparing Torah to dew. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Yarov kamotar likhi. May the lekach, the special gift that Hashem gave us, drop like rain. Uksiv, but the same pasuk tells us, Tizal katal imrasi. May Torah flow like dew. And Rava suggested that there's a hint over here as to the relationship of Torah with the person who's learning it. Im Talmud Chacham Hagun Hu, if the Talmud Chacham, the scholar, is worthy, as we'll explain in a moment, Katal, it should be gentle like dew, it should have permanence in that it doesn't do damage. V'im lav or feyu kamatar. And if not, if he's not worthy, then it should be or feyu, breaking him like rain. It should not go in a good direction. The word oref is like egla arufa, where the head of the animal was chopped off. The end of Parshas Shoftim. So we have a comparison, and as all comparisons to nature, you could take the comparison as far as it goes. It's a mashal. It's an illustration. But Torah is being compared in its relationship to either nurture, like dew, or hit hard, like rain. And the Gemara in the following two memris explains that a person who studies Torah lishma, for the sake of Torah, altruistically, trying to understand Hashem's word, so then it's sam chayim, it's an elixir of life. But if a person is manipulative and is trying to use Torah to prove his own perspectives without studying Torah with the right reasons, then it's sam hamoves, then it's damaging. Likewise, there's a statement here from Rabbi Yirmiyah, a conversation of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rav Zeira, in which the discussion was, Adam eitz hasadeh, a person is like the tree of the field, mimenu socha v'oso lo sichros, and you shouldn't cut him, he should have permanence. And in contrast, oso sashchis vikarata, if the person is studying Torah, you're studying Torah, but it's the wrong reasons. It's to manipulate things, so then vikarata, such a thing should be cut off. And that's this description that matar, in this application, is illustrating a very harsh, pounding experience, rather than tal du, which is so beautiful and just right. So that's the first mashal that we have on this daf regarding Torah compared to water. Let's continue one line up from the bottom wide lines. Rabbi Chinina bar Idi said as follows, Lama nivshlu divrei Torah lamayim. In what way is Torah compared to water? Dichsiv, as the pasuk we know says, Haikot tzame luchu lamayim, that the thirsty shall go to water, and it's referring to Torah. Lo malach, to tell you, ma mayim manichim makom gavoa v'hochim lamakom namuch, just like water flows. It's not a thick liquid. It flows. It always goes to the lower place. After v'rei Torah emiskaimim ela b'misha daito shefala, Torah will remain, will last, by someone who's humble. It flows to a low place, mayim. So now we have two illustrations regarding water. Our first one was the contrast of rain and dew that we want Torah to be like dew, gentle, nurturing, just right. And the second illustration was regarding water, that it flows to a low place. Now the Gemara is going to contrast liquids that Torah is compared to, as opposed to thicker substances like shemen and dvash, oil and honey, which if you drop something into it, it's much easier to pull the thing out. It doesn't contaminate as easily. The second wide line. Amar Rav Oshia, Lomanim Shlu Divrei Torah L'Shlosha Mashkim Halalu. Why is Torah compared to these three liquids, Mayim, Yayin, and Cholov? And the Gemara quotes the Psukim in which it is indeed compared to water, wine, and milk. At the end of the next line, Mashlosha Mashkim Halalu Emis Kaimim Elabapacha Shabekalim. Just like these three liquids last better if they're placed in simple vessels rather than golden or silver. So also Torah is going to last by someone who's humble. This is a continuation of the previous theme. As the daughter of the Caesar said to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, the sage of the generation, woe to us, such great wisdom, but it's in an ugly vessel. Apparently, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was not a pleasant-looking person. He was ugly, if you will, whatever that means, but that was her expression. He was not handsome. Om Allah, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, by response, asked her, Avicha Rami Chamra b'mani de pachra, does your father keep the wine in earthenware vessels? Amrolele b'mani nirmni, she says, what else? Amallah, he told her, someone as important as you, the emperor's family, should put it b'mani de dava v'kaspa, in vessels of gold and silver. So she told this to her father, and they implemented the advice. V'takif, and everything soured. Asu v'amrule, they told the king that everything soured from this advice. Amala lebrate, so he asked his daughter, Man amala, who gave you such advice? And she said, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, so they called Rabbi Shua ben Chananya in, and he said, I was teaching you a lesson. Ki hechi da amrali, Amri lo, what she told me, I told her. She told me that the preservation of Torah would be better in a pleasant-looking vessel, and I told her, try that with wine. Doesn't work. It works better with a humble vessel. They asked Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Vayika Shapiri Digmiri, there are pleasant-looking people who do know Torah. And Rabbi Shua ben Chananya answered, moving on to Amud Beis, Yavu Sanu Tefei Havu Gemiri. If they would have been ugly, or Taisva says, not that they would be ugly, but if they wouldn't have emphasized their exterior looks as much, they would have been greater. So that's somewhat of a continuation of the previous section, that a person should be humble. Davar Acher, but there's another insight. What's the comparison to water, wine, and milk? Mashlosha mashkim halalu einif salon elabes hachadas. These items, if you don't pay attention to them, they get ruined because something falls in, and once it falls in, it's not easy to get it out. Whereas honey and oil, they have a certain degree of integrity of their own, that they push away the contaminant and it doesn't get mixed in. Avtivrei Torah, but Torah is vulnerable like this. Eimish takchem ele behesach hadas. When a person doesn't pay proper attention to it, so to speak, something falls in, it gets forgotten. So there's one observation that I want to suggest over here, because this comparison is a little bit hard to appreciate. Something falling in and getting mixed in is the mashal, as opposed to honey that will keep the contaminant out of it. Over here, the contaminant moves right in and it's hard to get it out. And Rashi says, and that's a lesson that a person has to review Torah constantly. You can't have hesach hadas. You can't forget to pay attention to it. You have to always be involved, always guarding it. And the reason it's hard to appreciate this statement is because we normally think of forgetfulness, not that something else got mixed in and contaminated or downplayed the Torah. We think of forgetfulness as, oof, it was forgotten. It disappeared. It flew away. And certainly there is such a forgetfulness of oof, of something flying away, and Chazara is protecting that potential because you're constantly reviewing it so it doesn't fly away from you. But it seems that there might be a hint here in this Gemara to a different type of forgetfulness, which is that the person really does remember. It is there in his mental capacity. But because he doesn't review it, because he doesn't pay attention to it, other things get filed in as more important. And therefore, he no longer remembers, even though the Torah is still in his head. But he doesn't remember it. It's not part of his functional memory. And that's a great insight into Chazara, where Chazara is not learning the thing again. It's making sure that it remains active. It's paying attention to it. It's making sure that there's no hesach hada'as about it, that you're not forgetting it, forgetting about it. There's a very cute quote attributed to the Ors Sameach regarding the Ragachover Gon. He is said to have commented, to quip, that people think that the Ragachover Gon has a great memory. I, the Ors Sameach, have a good memory. The Ragachover is not about memory. He just learned it. Because the Ragachover style of learning was every 2 weeks to review everything. And that's this description. You have two types of forgetting. One forgetting presumably is oof. The person just forgets it. But the other type is that so many other things are in the head, seemingly more important, unless the person reviews and shows the chashivas of Torah, the Torah could actually be in there, but it's not going to be remembered in active memory.